while, but we're going to try to finish up this outline this morning. If you don't have one, Brother Eric, I've just got a few here. I handed out a couple. If you haven't been with us since we started this one, we're in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Hopefully there's enough of them there. Second Timothy chapter 3, in the last days, perilous times shall come. We're familiar with that phrase. These last times, as we've seen already, are talking about the days immediately preceding the second coming of Christ. Brother Gary Edmonds and I were talking yesterday at the end of our visitation program and talking with Brother John Westover, who's too young to know this. But back in the 70s, everybody talked about the second coming of Christ. They were just, you know, you couldn't go a month without hearing a sermon on the second coming of Christ. You don't hear it much anymore. That's not because He isn't coming. And the signs are even more evident than they were back then. But for some reason, the church as a whole has forgotten the doctrine of the second coming of Christ. So we've been studying that. This is our 14th lesson, the conditions for His return, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let me quickly bring you up to date in the outline if you're with us and haven't been. Letter A was the introduction, and that's Paul's verse number 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Paul said, this know. All right, that's number 1 under introduction, the teaching. This know also. There are some things that we can know. The world doesn't know. You knock on somebody's door and say, are you going to go to heaven when you die? Well, I hope so. Well, I want to. Well, I think so. The Bible says, these things have been written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Paul said, this know. You can know things. It's sad that Christians are so illiterate. And I don't mean that they can't read. I mean that they don't read. And they don't know what the Bible teaches and what the Bible says. And when we don't know what the Bible says, it leaves us open to anything else that comes around. And that's a dangerous position to be in. You know why so many are deceived by cults? So many are deceived by television preachers? Because they don't know their Bibles. And everything that's told them, they just take it at face value. They don't check it out to see if it's true, and you get in trouble. I've told you this here at church. Don't ever take anything I say as gold unless you find out it's backed up in the Word of God. I am subject to that book right there. You are subject to that book right there. And if that book doesn't say it, it isn't so. And it doesn't matter what preacher says it, how loud he says it, or how often he says it. There is a hell. There is sin. And so that book is always right. So Paul said this, no. Number 2 was the time of the introduction in the last days. The last days began when Christ was born in the manger. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that God has spoken in these last days by His Son. All right, so ever since Jesus Christ came the first time, began the last days. Now, you'll notice if you run that phrase, the last days, the closer we get to His second coming, the more these last days are fulfilled. So the last days is a 2,000-year period. And here He said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. It started then. You know, when Jesus Christ came, it started, so to speak, a new religion. And people were ostracized because of their faith in Jesus Christ. They were really part of Judaism. Because Judaism had taught the Messiah was coming, but when He came, these few received that promise. They were ostracized, and that began the last days. And so, from that time till now, those that have truly stood for Jesus Christ have had to stand outside of the mainstream society. The problem with the church and Christianity today is they want to be part of mainstream society, and you can't do the same thing. And so, here He says, in the last days, perilous times. Number 3 under the introduction, the trauma. Perilous times shall come. Now the perilous times are not for the world. They're enjoying it. They're having a blast. They're living this life with gusto, one day after the other. It's all fun. It's all games. The perilous times are for the believers that try to stand for Christ in the midst of this world. Now again, if we try to ride their coattails and go with them and just fit in with the world, it won't be perilous. But if we try to take a stand for Jesus Christ and let our light so shine that they may see our good works and glorify our Father that's in heaven, we're going to stand out in this world. You're not going to fit in. When it comes to the teachings of the world and the direction of the world and all the things that are going on, and you just don't buy into it. I mean, a 65-year-old man has an operation to become a 35-year-old woman. You know what I'm talking about? And he's called, ESPN calls him the most courageous man. While we've got soldiers fighting in Afghanistan and Iraq, this guy's courageous because he went from a 65-year-old man. And you and I ridicule and make fun of that, and the world says, what's the matter with you? Why don't you get it? Why don't you follow along with us? Because you're nuts. You're insane. And we don't fit in with the trend of the world. So we're going to stand out. That's the trauma. All right, letter B. Letter A was the introduction, verse 1. Letter B was the itemizing, verse 2 to 5. There we got again. Number 1, the description, and we've covered this, so we'll not go over it, but it was good. The 19 items that are listed in verse 2, 3, 4, and 5, the 19 items that describe the characteristics of the world in the last days. And again, you read those. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. All right, again, we're not going back over those 19 things, but that, for me, that was good. When I studied those things and looked at what each of those means and looked at it and looked at how it fits modern-day society, yes, we're in the last days. So that's the description. Then number 2, this is new this morning, under the itemizing, number 1, the description, number 2, the departure. And here's the key. Why did he list those 19 things? Just to fill pages? Just to give us information? He said at the end of verse number 5, from such turn away. From such turn away. You know what he just said? Here's the world, those 19 things. Here's a description of the world at the last days. But you, Christian, you don't follow along. You don't mingle in the midst. You don't try to fit in. You turn away. That's very unpopular in modern-day Christianity. Because modern-day Christianity is, let's make the church look like that. Let's have the church be comfortable for those people to come into here. And that's never the way it's supposed to be. The world that's like that, that ought not be a description of believers in Christ. There ought to be a difference between them and what you and... So Paul says in his departure, he said, from such turn away. Now here again is the key. We're talking about the last days. We're talking about the second coming of Christ. This information is given to us not to satisfy our curiosity. All right? He didn't... People go to, you know, and this doesn't happen, Brother Gary, again, we're talking. It doesn't happen so much now as it did back then, but people would go from one conference, one prophecy conference to another prophecy conference, read one prophecy book after another prophecy book, and that's all they knew was the doctrines of the second coming. And usually what they knew was kind of askew and not really, really too good there, but that's all they followed. All it was to satisfy their curiosity. But Paul's telling us that the teachings of the second coming are not to satisfy curiosity, but to sanctify conduct. To sanctify our conduct. Knowing that Christ is coming, knowing that this will be the conditions of the world in the last days, he says to you and I, from such turn away. It couldn't be any clearer. It couldn't be more precise. That's not your crowd. That's not your direction as a child of God. That's not where you should feel comfortable. From such, turn away. Now, it doesn't mean that we snub our nose and think, well, we're better than those people. We're different. By Christ in us, we're different from the rest of the world. And if we're not different from the rest of the world, then Christ isn't in us. And so the sign of the last days are these different things. And then the key of the whole lesson, I think this is the most important. This is the key to the whole thing. There's the direction of the world in the last. Here's what it's going to look like. Here's the portrait of the world. From such, turn away. Don't feel like you've got to be included. Don't feel like you've got to fit in. Don't feel like you've got to be part of that. From such, turn away. If we don't turn away, are we disobedient to the Word of God? Paul said, from such, turn away. So when a believer wants to go with the crowd and wants to fit in, you understand, we work where we work among the people we work with, and we just can't isolate ourselves. But at the same time, we are not quick to go with them to every excess of riot, as the Bible says. There is a difference between the rest of the world and the believer in Christ. So that's the departure. Now, letter A is the introduction. Letter B is the itemizing. Letter C, verse 6 to 9, are the imposters. The imposters. Notice verse 6. For of this sort. Those are, again, all the words of the Bible, all the phrases are key. For of this sort. All right? The 19 things that describe the lost world in the last days. Those are the unbelievers. But then he says this in verse 6. Of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. You know what he's saying? He said, all right, they're not them, but they're like them. They're not them, but they're not us. They're imposters. What they are is religious imposters. They have the cloak of righteousness, humanly speaking, but they're just like that group over there underneath the surface. Their religion is all window dressing. Their religion is all outward. And when you really closely examine it, you know what you find? Lovers of their own selves. Proud, covetous, boasters. Again, that's the way the world's supposed to be, not the way the believer, but there's one in between, a mediator, an evil mediator, that's trying to look like us, but is actually like them. And Paul describes them for us. Paul gives to Timothy, as a pastor, he gives him this warning. Watch out for these. Look for these. They're going to arise. There's going to be these religious imposters of this sort. Notice number one in our outline, they're evil in verse 6 and 7. They're evil. For of this sort are they which creep, they're creeps. Of this sort are they which creep into houses. They're evil. You might want to write this reference down. I'll turn to it. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. All right, these are those evil imposters, the scoffers that will come in the last days. All right, they're evil. Small letter A. They are wily. W-I-L-Y. They are wily. What does it say? They creep into houses. You know what wily means? It means subtle, clever, deceptive. If you're my generation, you know what the word wily means because you watched The Roadrunner. And you saw the wily coyote. Now, he was not successfully wily, but he was wily, always coming up with a scheme, always coming up with something trying to deceive the Roadrunner into doing whatever it was, and it always backfired. But that's what the word wily means. Always subtle, coming up with a scheme. And the Bible says about these in the last days, that's what they are. They're wily. They are they which creep into houses. They creep into houses. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Again, you can write down the reference. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets among them, and there shall be false teachers among you who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. Privately. All right? Creeping. Behind the scenes. They don't want to be exposed. They don't want to be seen. They don't want to be known. They're wily. They're not going to answer questions. They can't stand up to scrutiny or examination. They just want to go their way. And they're leading captive silly women. Jude verse 4. Jude is just one chapter right before the book of Revelation. Jude verse 4 says, for there are certain men crept in unawares. Crept in. Creeps. They've crept in unaware. This is no more so evident than on the television set. When people turn on religious broadcasting and they get these people creeping into their house, wanting things, And, you know, if you follow that and you find out the IRS investigates them and they've got this private jet for this and this private house and this, all this kind of stuff, what have they done? They've crept into people's houses unaware. People, because of the religious front on it, have bought into it and they've accepted it when it's not real behind the scenes. And that's not true of all of them. You know, there's some guys that have a legitimate ministry and it becomes so big that they go on television for it, but the majority of that stuff is creeping in and leading people astray. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 4. And again, I give you the references to cross-reference what the Bible says about it. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 4. And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in. False brethren, unawares brought in. That's the description. So everything that looks religious is not of God. And that's where people get deceived. Well, it looked good. It looked right. You've got to check it by the Word of God. And the reason folks are falling gullible to that is because they don't know the Word of God and don't use the Word of God enough to check things by the Word of God. We have, again, an illiterate Christian society in our day that does not know the Word of God. With all the multiple hundreds of translations that are out there, we simply watered everything down and people don't know the Bible anymore. So we find they are wily. Small letter B. Uh-oh. They are womanizers. You say, where do you get that? Verse 6. They lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. They target those whom they can easily deceive. That's simply, they lead astray silly women. Now, silly doesn't mean dumb. It doesn't mean stupid. It doesn't mean unintelligent. It simply means unstable. They're not stable in what they believe. They're not stable in what they know, and they're easily led astray with divers lusts. I mean, look at the popularity of soap operas. Look at the popularity of Dr. Phil and Oprah Winfrey. And people sit home all day and they suck that stuff in and they think that tells them what they're supposed to think about different subjects. That dictates to them the direction that they're going. And silly women get led astray. And so we find that these men capitalize on that. They take advantage of that. Isn't that what Satan did? He came into the Garden of Eden and waited until Adam was gone to come and approach Eve. He waited till Adam was not in the vicinity and he singled out Eve and went and talked to her. And these false religious imposters do the very same thing. They try to deceive the women. And they're very good at what they do. So we find that. They target whom they think they can best deceive. That's their evil. Verse 8 then, number 2, is their example. They're not originals. There have been people that have done this before, that have been imposters of religious things. The example that Paul uses in verse 8 is, now Jannes and Jambres, as they withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. The example is Jannes and Jambres. Now these two people are not mentioned in the Old Testament. But it says as they withstood Moses, so putting it into the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, we're believing that these were two of the magicians of Egypt that were called on by Pharaoh to imitate the miracles that Moses was doing. Remember when he threw down his rod and it became a serpent? They did the same thing. When he performed some of the other miracles, they did the same thing. They were able to replicate some of the miracles that Moses did. They were evil men. You know what folks do now? Well, there's a healing going on over there. Well, I saw this guy do this. I saw him perform this miracle over there. Jannes and Jambres. False imposters. Religious imposters. We see that again prevalent in the day that we live in. And folks say, well, why are you against all that stuff? Well, God still heals. God can heal. God can do. Aren't you glad God's your heavenly Father? And you know what we forget? If you've had a good earthly father, you've had a wonderful pattern for your heavenly Father. If you had an earthly father who provided for you and took care of you and was there for you, you've got a wonderful example of your heavenly Father. I appreciated my heavenly Father yesterday. We're going out of town tomorrow. We'll be gone for the week. I cut the grass last week on Friday, preparing to cut it on Saturday this week so I'd have a whole week before, I tried to time this thing out, stage it so it wouldn't be a big yard of mess when I got back. So I thought, okay, Saturday's my day. So I get up yesterday morning, and what happened? The ground is wet. And I look at the forecast, and it's thunderstorms coming all day. So we came down, we went out on our Biesville Blitz in the morning, and went to eat lunch after that and got home. I told my wife, when I get home, I'm going to take a nap for about half an hour, then get up and cut the grass. We're driving home, and the sky is dark. I mean, it's just pitch black coming from the west. And I told her, I said, there went the nap. I got to get out there and cut grass as fast as I got to jog out there and cut that grass as fast as I can before this storm gets. And I'm thinking, if I don't get this cut, I'm going to have to get up Monday morning and do it before I leave. But morning's always tough because the grass is still wet and the dew and all that. So I'm trying to figure this out. And I'm, at the same time, I'm saying, Lord, just hold the rain off long enough. You know what happened? Now somebody said, well, what a coincidence. I cut that grass. I'm in the front yard, and it started sprinkling a little bit. And I thought, I can handle this. This is all right. The grass isn't getting wet. I just kept going, got the front done, went down the side, got the other side. I'm getting the back. I'm going, coming up from the back, and I'm cutting the grass. And, man, it's dark out there, and you can see the rain all over. Not a drop. And I got the grass all cut, and I thought, and I got there, and I put the lawnmower back in. And I said, thank you, Lord. Not even that. Then I went over and jumped in the pool to cool off. Then the thunder started rolling. I thought, I better get out of here. And I got back in the house, and as soon as I got in the house, I told my wife after I cooled off in the pool, I'm going to lay down for about 20 minutes now. I no sooner laid down than I heard the rain start hitting the window. Now you say, do you really think God cares that much? Yes, I do. You think God did all that for you? Well, yeah, I guess I do. He's a good heavenly Father. I had a father that would do things like that for me if it was within his ability. Now, actually, my father could not control the weather, so that was not one of the things. But he would do whatever was in his possibility for me as his son. He would do, if I was doing those things that were pleasing to him, if I was trying to be obedient to him, he would do whatever it took to make me happy also. I think my Heavenly Father is just as good. And I have every confidence that God held out. I don't know what the neighbors wanted, what they needed. You know, maybe they said, hey, God, we've got a garden. We need rain right now. And the Lord said, no, but I'm paying attention to him right now. I don't know how all that works, but I'm just glad I have a heavenly Father. I don't know how I got on all that. But we're talking about the example of Jannes and Jambres, two men that opposed God. They were false. God was not their heavenly Father, and they were able to do what Moses was able to do, who had his heavenly Father. And so we find this, small letter A, about these men, Jannes and Jambres. They were defiant. They were defiant. They withstood Moses and resisted the truth. They withstood Moses and resisted the truth. These charlatans of our day that are doing these so-called miracles, it's just simply this, and you know this, a fellow that sets up a tent and tells people to come on their buses from all over the place and come to the tent and wait in line, and he'll slap them on the forehead or stick his fingers in their ears and bring the demons out and all that kind of stuff. If he's got that kind of ability, I want to take him to the state hospital. I want to take him to the cancer ward at the hospital. I want to take him to the nursing home. If he's got that kind of ability, but you know what? They won't do it. They resist the truth. They withstood Moses and resisted the truth. The proof is in the pudding. You tell me you can do that kind of stuff. Well, don't just do it on the select few that are questionable. You come and get me somebody that's in the hospital and dying of it. You bring them back up. Let's see the proof there. But they're like Jannes and Jambres. They are defiant against the truth. They're imposters. They're imitating. They are duplicating. But it's not real. Small letter B, they were defiled. They were defiled. They withstood Moses, the Bible says. It says, men of corrupt minds. Men of corrupt minds. Paul is giving you and I some information that's not seen on the surface. These religious charlatans, and I'm purposely not putting names with these because I don't want to be the one that's pointing them out. But these that look so good on the outside and are deceiving people on the outside, you know what Paul says? They have corrupt minds. Corrupt minds. Now, you know what the world does or what religious people do? Well, look at what they're doing. Paul says, don't look at what they're doing. Look at who they are. They're men of corrupt minds. See, the problem begins up here. Before it ever comes out here, the problem starts up here. You know, some of these fellows have been exposed. Some of these ladies have been exposed. But after 20 years of doing what they're doing, then somebody finds out they were guilty of this thing or that thing. Why did that happen? Because all along they had corrupt minds. It just didn't show till years later. And then people said, I can't believe I sent them all kinds of money. Now they're locked up and in prison for 20 years because they were doing this or that. Well, they had corrupt minds from the beginning. So Paul is giving us some inside information to help us to learn to warn us from this. He said they are men of corrupt minds. They're defiled. They have a major sin problem. The sin begins in the mind and only later shows up in the actions. Letter C, they were disapproved. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate. Reprobate concerning the faith. I've got a shocker for you. Everybody that's in the ministry is not in it for God. Now I know you know that, but just kind of sarcastic, I got a shocker for you. Everybody that's in it is not in it for God. Some are in it for what they can get out of it. Some are in it because it makes them feel good. Some men or women are in the ministry because they have a desire to be a good person and they think, well, this is what I can do. They're in it for themselves. Some are in it for a buck. And they usually show themselves pretty easily, at least to the astute and discerning mind. And God says of these men, as Jannes and Jambres, they are reprobate concerning the faith. Reprobate means disapproved or rejected. They're phony. They're charlatans. I know that there was, again, I won't say names, but there's the one guy that was a faith healer. He could take care if you didn't have, if you couldn't hear, he could take the devils out. Thou foul and evil spirits, come out. And the guy would fall down and all of a sudden he could hear. He'd speak into his ear. Can you hear me? Say baby. Baby. You've seen it. Say baby. Baby. They perform these so-called miracles. And the same fellow that could do that wore a toupee. I always thought that was the funniest thing. Why couldn't he put hair back on his head? Why did he have to wear it? If he could heal, you know, all deaf and mute and lame and all that kind of stuff, why couldn't he get his hair growing back in there again? I didn't understand that. They're disapproved of God. They might be approved of men. They might even be approved of Christianity. But they're disapproved of God. See, the gospel message is a simple message. Jesus Christ died for your sins. He was buried and rose again the third day for your justification. And we're in this for Him. The whole purpose for church is for Him. The whole purpose of what we do is to be sincere before Him. But when these religious imposters get on it, it gets all knocked out of whack. It gets all askew. And they're disapproved of God. Reprobate concerning the faith. That's their example. Then finally, number three, their exposure. Verse 9. But they shall proceed no farther, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs, Jannes and Jambres, also was. Their exposure. This verse should encourage us. When we see all of this falsehood going on, it should encourage us to let us know that God's not going to let it go unrewarded. And when I say unrewarded, I mean rewarded according to their deeds. God is going to take care of it. God is going to reveal it. Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. They were performing the same miracles that Moses was able to perform. They imitated, they duplicated everything he did. But in the end, God made it clear they were not of God. Moses was, they were not. And God's going to make it clear those that are of God in this life also. It might take a little while. You might have to watch it. You might have to pay attention. That's what folks don't do, pay attention. But notice, small letter A. Here's our big $5 word, always one every day. Their ludicrousness. Now for you rap stars, you rap fanatics, you know what ludicrous is, so you can spell that. So you don't even know what I'm talking about when I say that, all right? Their ludicrousness. L-U-D-I-C-R-O-U-S-N-E-S-S. It's ludicrous. Their folly. That their folly shall be manifest. That's what all this is. It's just, it's ludicrous. It's silly. It's folly. All these things we describe, and you know, and I kind of humorously mock it to a certain extent or make fun of it. God looks at all that stuff that they're so pretend to be so serious about, and God says this is folly. They're playing. It's not real. It's not sincere. It's nonsense. Just watch some of that stuff. And I don't have to tell you what's wrong. All I've got to do is tell you what's right, what the Bible says. And then when you see that stuff, you're going to say, wait a minute, there's something wrong with that. That just doesn't look right. It's folly. And so God said their folly shall be manifest unto all men. They think they're so smart. They think they're so clever as they deceive the masses, as they go on and on for many years in this stuff before their folly is revealed. And the whole time God looks at them and says, all right, enough of this silliness. Enough of this folly. That's the ludicrousness. Letter B, the largeness. The largeness. He said, their folly shall be manifest, made known unto all men. They're going to be revealed before all men as religious imposters. So when will that happen? Well, remember the story? Lord, Lord, have we not cast out devils in thy name, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And the Lord will look at them and say, depart from me, accursed, I never knew you. Religious imposters. Lord, Lord, have we not? They're performing great things as Jannes and Jambres. But it'll be revealed to all men. Everyone will know exactly where they're coming from. Letter C, the limiting. The limiting. Verse 9 starts by saying, but they shall proceed no further. They shall proceed no further. Jim Baker was the head of PTL. Pocket the Loot. They called it Praise the Lord. He had people sending in money. Mostly widows and elderly people on limited incomes would send him money and money and money for his ministry. He's now in jail. Been in prison for many, many years because he used that money dishonestly. He built amusement parks. He had the nicest of houses, air-conditioned his dog house so his dog wouldn't sweat in the summertime. I'm not making this up. All on the money that widows and elderly people were sending him. Now he's in prison. You say, what happened? That they proceed no further. God said, that's enough of this folly. God said, that's enough of this kind of stuff. And it all comes home to roost. It all gets caught. It all gets turned out one sooner or later. And then lastly, letter D, the likeness. The likeness. At the end of verse 9, as theirs also was. As Jannes and Jambres' folly was exposed to all men, so theirs will be also. What happened to Jannes and Jambres when Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt? They perished with the rest. They were gone. It didn't matter what they were able to do to imitate Moses. It couldn't save their own necks. Couldn't save their firstborn. Their imitation did no good at all. They took some pride in themselves. Moses, you can throw that snake down and become a rod down and become a serpent. Look, we can do the same thing. They were full of pride and ego. and arrogance when they were able to imitate what Moses did. But when Moses and the children of Israel departed from Egypt and they stayed behind, their folly was exposed. They were never believed again. Nobody ever go to them and have them do something because they couldn't even do what Moses was doing and take it all the way through. Their folly was revealed. And that's what's going to happen to the false teachers. As we get closer to the second coming, realize the world's going to be rushing as a mass in this direction. This lesson is we're to stand over here separate from that. But there are going to be those in the middle that are trying to act like us but are really like them. And you and I have to be discerning enough to know which are in this camp, which are in that camp, which are in this camp. Which ones are just strictly of the world, which ones are trying to stand for Christ and do right, and which ones are trying to ride the coattails of that, be like that, and yet reach these, and it's all over the place. Churches today are bringing in entertainment. And most of those entertainments, you know what they do? They listen to the rock and roll music of our day. They listen to the artists of our day. They're listening to the common, popular, secular artists. That's where they get their musical enjoyment. Then they come into church and try to take that music and play it in church with different words, repeating the choruses over. You know what it is? They're right here. Religious imposters right in the middle. Taking from that and trying to reach this and stand in the middle. That their folly go no further. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, again, thank you for the Word of God that gives us warning. And Lord, simply warning that we can guard ourselves against the wild.